What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody? I want to welcome y'all to the Fade Hour. As usual, this is your host, Maul Brews and Boxing. Got another brew, as usual. Got me a coffee stout, the same one I had last week, 13%. I'm joined by my usual cast, my panel of experts here. Tonight we're going to touch on the card that just happened this past week. We got a title that changed hands. We're also going to recap Tank Davis and possibly where he goes next. And then we're going to get into some heavyweight action as well, man. But before we get into all that, I'm going to go ahead and kick it around the room and let my boys introduce themselves.
What up, world? This your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. I'm sounding good, feeling good, smoking good. So let's get to it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy at Free Smoke Boxing. I'm just sitting here chilling with a Mac, which is Miracle Alien Cookies, and that shit is good.
Abrupt. What's good, y'all? It's Pascal, the New England representative. And, you know, I just poured myself some Cabernet because, you know, I had a late dinner and whatnot. But, you know, I had to come out here with some liquor in my system. So that was the first bottle I grabbed, man. So let's get to it.
Bet, man. Let's go ahead and get into this the undercard topic, man. We had a dope-ass set of fights this week. Let's go ahead and jump into it, man. We saw Machado take an L, man. So I want to kick it around the room. Get everybody thoughts on that. I want to start off with News, because he's been one of the ones firm believers that he didn't believe in Machado. So I'm wondering if him losing, you know, is that a shocker to him? Is it, you know, is it not? But, you know, and then after that, we all gonna get into it.
For me, it's not. I'm sorry. For me, yes, it was a shocker to hear that he was knocked out. I didn't actually get to see the fight, but when I heard that he got knocked out or stopped in the fourth round, and this the dude that everybody been running around claiming Tank ain't the real champion because of, I laughed about it. You know what I mean? I shrugged my shoulders. And I'm like, you know, on to the next one. Because at the end of the day, a real champion don't lose to fighters like that. I mean, you can't sit here and say this guy was the real champ. Tank is not this, he's not that. If Tank would have lost to this guy, we don't even need to get into that, man. I don't even need to get into that, man. This dude lost to I don't even know who he is.
So
I don't even know who he lost to.
The dude,
a dude with a full time job who was the concrete dude.
Yo,
he lost to the Mexican Joe Smith.
Cancillo's actually a better fighter than his only issue is because he was working, you know, that's the thing though. But he's actually a lot better fighter than he is, but not the guy that Machado should have lost to.
So here's the thing, man. Machado knocked him down the first round and all that.
Yeah,
but Cancillo, or however you say his last name, they just had a good game plan. And once he hit him with that body shot, it was game over. It was just a matter of time, because that body shot Machado barely got up from, and Machado was due to pay for his shitty style. I mean, his last fight against Evans was really overmatched, and you know, I mean, for real. And I didn't think Machado was that great. I mean, he leans a lot of weight over his front foot, and that's why he got knocked the fuck out. And much respect to Cancillo, because legit, I mean, dude, like, is a concrete worker, like, Monday through Friday, and he probably worked today. You gotta put some respect on that dude's name, regardless if he loses the title in the next fight. Eddie Hearn, pay that man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That fight was like the beauty of boxing, man. Like, how many times over the years we seen boxers say, man, I was on the verge of quitting, or I just needed a shot. And last few years, man, we seen people against hell of a betting odds go ahead and pull the upset, man. The Saturday night was no damn different.
Cantillo winning was an absolute shock to me, because, you know, I mean, like I said, he's one of the people that's like, you know, he fought, but he was fighting like it was like part-time fighting. So I didn't think he was even that focused to even do what he did. I mean, after he got knocked, he ran through Machado like it was nothing. Like, Machado didn't even look right. Like, I didn't know if it was just the body shot or the fact, because, I mean, Machado's a big motherfucker at 130. And I have a suspicion that he probably drained to make that weight and probably played a part in him getting ran through like that.
Yeah. He looked like smoked out, and just like he wasn't there. But if someone would have told you at the end of 2018, in the first 3 months, 2 months of 2019, Dogbo and Machado would lose their titles, you would have been like, no way.
If Machado was gonna lose. I would expect it to be, you know, to a bigger fight, which was probably looming for him, you know, not this fight, you know. But hey, like I said, that's the beauty of boxing, theater of unexpected. So, you know, Cancillo now is the real WBA super featherweight champion. And Tank needs to fight this man at some point.
He really does. No, he can knock him out too, but he's not the real champ. Tank's the real champ, man. You go ahead and beat Machado or whatever you want to do, but until you take that strap up for Tank, he the real champ, man.
Speaking of Tank, man, he was in action. He got in the ring for a bit. Right. I don't even know how to categorize it, man.
It was a bullshit ass fight. That's what it was.
right. Basically, he did what everybody expected him to do, and then the announcement a day or so later that Floyd may be setting him up to fight the guy he had an exhibition with for another exhibition for Tank, man. If this goes through, I mean, it's money for Tank, but I think what they was really saying, Tank should be back in the regular fight in the summertime, right?
Yeah, the thing with Tank is Tank's mandatory is fucking Edner Cherry. That's the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. Tank is already getting to the point where he's fighting too many bullshit ass fights. 130, there are live cats at 130. It's time for him, if he really wants to make a status career, he should actually really make an effort. I mean, we've talked about this plenty of times of who he should be fighting at 130. I don't want to see a motherfucker that lost to Edner Cherry like 10 years ago, that lost to Tim Bradley 10 years ago. Ooh. You know, I'm not with that fight. And the chair, I have nothing against him, but that's not the fight I want to see Tank in next. I also don't want to see him fight a fucking kickboxer. I mean, unless it's just
right. Hey, Smoke. Well, let me ask you a question, man. How you feel about that issue with Tank with the weigh-in?
Well, so I wanted to give a somewhat unbiased opinion of what happened after Pat's extremely biased version of what happened. As we all know, it was originally scheduled to be Abner Mares. Now, we're not very happy about that fight, but he got replaced by Hugo Ruiz, who was a come up from 122, really. I mean, he fought at 126 a couple times. But Tank came in at 130.4, and then he had to strip no homo, and he was still overweight. So I don't know how they did it, but in a half hour he lost half a pound. But Tank needs to move up. I mean, let's be real. Unless he fights Tevin Farmer next, fuck some kickboxing exhibition or whatever, unless the bag that they're getting is in excess of $10 million. Unless he fights Tevin Farmer next, he has no business being at 130. Because you look at him when he weighs in, and he looks not well. Like, you know, even when Mikey weighs in, he gets the fuck off the scale like 2 seconds later. But even recently, he doesn't look like he's about to go and, you know, pass the fuck out. Tank, when he weighs in, he looks like he's barely there. So he needs to move up and fight a dude like a Ray Beltran that PBC may have or something like that, and then fight Loma.
Oh, yeah, you're spinning the gospel there. And another thing I want to bring up, the fucking entrance. I'm sorry. Entrance, not even Halloween. It's fucking Valentine's Day this week. Why the fuck would you go with the Halloween thing? And the worst thing is this nigga could even groove to the ring. He's over there looking mad stupid, looking special. These on the right are doing the throw routine, and he's over there just like, he's fucking. He's like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm like, groove, nigga. Hamed did it too. Hamed and Wayne McCullough did it in 1998. Groove to the fucking ring. You're black, my nigga. Groove.
Yo, man. He looked like he didn't want to be there for the introduction.
Basically, he's ready to the swag
of a substitute teacher.
I mean, the shit was so swaggerous. Like, I felt secondhand embarrassment just watching that.
News, what you think of all this shit, man, with Tank and all that we just talked about, man?
Man, I thought Tank did what he was supposed to do. Got Ruiz up out of there. Again, like I said on episode 20 of the Fade Hour, that, I mean, it's short notice, so, I mean, I can't really expect somebody to fight Tank on 11 days notice, so I can't be mad about that. I was mad about that entrance, though. I mean, I didn't like the thriller entrance. I didn't like the swaggerless walk. I didn't like the look on the face. I didn't like none of that. But I did like, you know, he did get his opponent out of there. He wasn't there to cause any trouble. Tank had no trouble, so that was a quick bunny grab. I don't like the rumors of him fighting Mayweather's last exhibition opponent. They would be trying to move Tank like he's the next Floyd Mayweather, when Tank hasn't shown anything that shows he's the next Floyd Mayweather. And in that, I don't just mean like in a negative way. I mean like even in fighting styles, he's not similar.
He doesn't box like him.
Right, his personality is not Floyd Mayweather. He doesn't have the Floyd Mayweather fan base yet. He doesn't have the flash or flair of Floyd Mayweather. So I don't see why trying to move him like the next, move him like the old version of Floyd Mayweather instead of moving him like the young version of Floyd Mayweather.
Right.
In which the young version of Floyd Mayweather will be calling Tevin Farmer out because he knows he needs that W.
He just wouldn't be calling Tevin Farmer out. I mean, when they see each other at fights, he would be damn near slapping him in the face, talking about how come you ain't fighting me, not vice versa.
Right.
And like Tevin Farmer was spitting fire at Tank last time that they, at least last time that, you know, they had an interaction.
Shit, so what's going to happen first? Tank and Farmer or Tank and Loma?
Tank Farmer,
yeah, they're not going to...
Floyd's gonna keep that nigga away from Lomachenko.
No.
They want to get some extra wins from
Lomachenko. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't agree with that.
I feel about that because on one hand, I know how Floyd. I know how Pat feels about Loma. But on the other hand, I know how you feel about Tank. So I don't know what he means by that.
Yeah, no, I actually think Bob Arum is going to make sure... Aaron is going to make sure that Tank doesn't fight Loma.
I wonder who Pat would root for or picking at their
fight. It don't
matter.
Pat just waiting to be sitting back with the Merlot waiting for the loser.
Yep.
No, no, no. Pat loves when he loves to put those two fights together.
I'd be drinking something a little bit more mead than Merlot.
Name dropping Salido between every round, too.
I would,
AP, your opinion. Well, your thoughts on the weigh-in Friday?
Oh, about how I really didn't catch the weigh-in. I heard he almost missed weight again.
Right.
Oh my god. There's always something with this guy. Like, this guy can't hold the weight. Like, I don't know if it's just, at this point, I'm not even sure if it's that he's still undisciplined or he just can't have such a problem making weight. But there's always something on him with the scale. He almost lost it again. Like, I don't know what it is. You got to get it together.
Smoke was saying, just go ahead and stop delaying 135.
Honestly, you're right. I mean, there really isn't a lot for him at 130, except for Tevin. And if that's not going to happen, then
fucking Edner Cherry.
nobody's getting up for that fight. Like nobody wants that fight. So just go fight Loma or Farmer or somebody. Like,
yo, so here's my thing. Tank showed, as he shows in every performance, that he is he's not a normal boxer. He has elite athleticism and power, and he puts on an entertaining show every time he fights. So just like AB, even if he fights fucking bums or dudes that are way below his level, as long as he beats them and knocks them out, he'll be good.
I can't get up for those kind of fights. It's like, at this point, it's like, yeah, I understand that it's entertaining, but like, even afterwards, I'm just like, ugh. Because I remember a friend of mine asked me, oh, you know, what do you think about the fight? Do you like it? You know, first round, KO. I'm like, eh. He's like, what do you mean, eh? Like, it was a knockout. But I'm like, it was a knockout against an overmatched opponent coming up two weight classes on 3 weeks' notice, who was way in over his head. I'm sorry, I can't. That doesn't excite me. Like, yawn. Okay, next.
I feel you. The thing that was most impressive to me is that Tank walked. As soon as Tank realized that dude was affected by one of his punches, he went straight into stalker mode. And the way he broke dude's nose, I ain't seen a nose broken like that in a long time.
Jack Reese was asking about 80 times, you want to continue? Do you want to continue?
He didn't even he obviously was there to get the check. This fucking he fought 3 weeks ago. He knew he wasn't gonna. He had no intention to continue. And like, even like, because it was funny, because I was watching it with my girl, and like, she was like even she was like, just his delayed reaction, like, he looked like he just fucking just felt it and then waited like a minute and then just flop. That looked like a flop a little bit. He didn't even really want it. Like, he's like, oh, you okay? He just didn't say nothing. He was looking for a way out. And honestly, that's how you know Tank is legit. Because all of the fighters he fights, he breaks them down towards, like, they're looking for ways out.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened against, and that's one of the things that I was talking about the other day with my coworker. He was saying about how, oh, well, you know, Tank struggled with Francesa, whereas Farmer had an easier time with him. But I'm like, but Tank knocked him out and kind of made him quit, because throughout the whole fight, you know, even though Farmer won that easily, you know, Francesa was coming at him, but he just wasn't effective. Whereas Tank made him quit. He, no mistake, people talk about, oh, you know, it wasn't really a knockout. He hit him in the back of the head. No, he hit him with the body shot first, and you could just tell that he didn't want anymore. He was looking for a way out, and he found it. So, like, guys like that, like Pedraza, kind of like, all these guys look for a way out against Tank because he just breaks them down. The power, that's how you know his power is legit.
Well, I think Pedraza was actually legitimately knocked out. I don't think he was looking for a way out. I think he just wasn't able to continue.
Speaking of legit or not, Pat, man, what do you make of Ramirez's performance Sunday?
I think he's right for the taking. I really do. And I said it before, I said Zapata, like I said, though, I mean, don't sleep on him.
You said it.
And it's like, you know, and Zapata, and the only thing with Zapata, if he didn't get so fucking tired in the second half of the fight, because he was boxing the shit out of Ramirez. Like, he made Ramirez look like an amateur, but Ramirez has a, you know, A, can take some punishment, and B, has a hell of a body attack. And I think that combined with that, he crawled back into the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I thought Ramirez won the last couple of rounds. And those were the rounds, I think, that's where the fight was in the balance. Ramirez won, but he's flawed. He's very rough. You know, he's rough around the edges. With some fighters, like, he can beat him just off physicality alone. But he's probably the weakest of the 140 champs. That Maurice Hooker is one of the champs.
Maurice Hooker would outbox Ramirez something serious.
Yeah, Ramirez looked really bad. Like, it wasn't even that he looked bad. It's just, to me, he looked very, like, he looked flustered. Like, he did, like, at times he didn't know what, like, he didn't know what he was doing. Like, he looked kind of like a little, like nervous, scared. I don't know if it's nervous or scared. He just looked lost.
I know Aaron looked nervous.
They both looked like they were happy that they joined the World Boxing Super Series. Yeah, that belt wouldn't even made it out of the first round.
Man, what that belt would have got up off of him real quick.
Yeah, I don't believe in Ramirez skills. I said that when he had a lot to say to Ring Gang Radio back then. Don't stay here and sit here and talk about you're not ducking the fighter, but you're not fighting the fighter. If you're out here having these type of matches with Zapata, what are you going to do with Progress? What are you going to do with
Josh Taylor? Hell, Berantic. You know what I'm saying? Shit. You know what I'm saying? Let's just do a segue into a brief. Go ahead, Smoke.
Mal, so I apologize, but go ahead, bro. I just want to go on a little mini rant here. So Jose Ramirez, he switched trainers from Freddie Roach to Robert Garcia, what, two fights ago, right?
They built that up real big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so first of all, I think we should put something down. The first one of us that sees Mark Kriegel in a fight, the person gets $500 if they punch him. over the cost of bail.
I'm not engaging in battery and assault.
That's all for entertainment, folks. That's all for entertainment, folks. But seriously,
that is a free smoke boxing unsanctioned bet right now.
So Jose Ramirez changes trainers to Robert Garcia, and what does Robert Garcia do? Robert Garcia adds a jab to a fighter, and because the jab is the foundation of everything, technically and literally, you can control a fight with a jab, and you should have a few different jabs. Jose Ramirez has been with him two fights, and there is literally no jab to speak of. He threw, I don't know, 25 jabs in that fight. Marcos Maidana, who everyone thought was crude and not that skilled, the same way that people think about Jose Ramirez, the first fight he had with Robert Garcia, he was jabbing his fucking ass off. So it's like, yo, if you're Robert Garcia, you gotta be talking to Jose Ramirez like, bro, you barely got out of there against a dude who was significantly smaller than you and who had no punching power, and you threw, what, 100 jabs? CompuBox jabs? Which aren't real jabs. And it's like, why would you train? Why would you change trainers? Robert Garcia doesn't teach defense the same way that Freddie Roach doesn't teach defense. So, So I mean, you talking about going up to 147, Terrence Crawford? It's like, bro, pump your brakes. Stay in that gym, learn the jab, or else you're not going to get better, because he still leans over the front foot. He's still susceptible to any uppercut, and it's like, what are you doing?
You are actually right about that, now that I think about it, because Robert Garcia does add, like, seems like when Robert Garcia is your trainer, your jab power goes up a couple of points. Like, you throw more, because he does have his fighters throw more jabs, now that I think about it. My daughter started throwing more jabs at him, and when I went to the when I was at the Thurman Jose Dito fight, Robert Garcia was training Lopez, and Lopez was throwing a ton of jabs. So you have a point there. He does. I never really realized that until now that you mentioned it right now. He does.
I mean, it's how you set up everything.
True. But shit, speaking of Marcos Maidana, just a quick, maybe a minute talk, opinion on it. Do y'all really believe that he's coming back?
No.
I saw a video on Twitter saying, like, talking about it, like, how he, like, him on video talking about it. So I think he might be actually come back just for that PPC money. But I don't think that he'll be very effective. I don't know. That he might be like Ricky Hatton. That comeback might be very Ricky Hatton-esque, which is not a good thing.
Right, because he's blowing up. Obviously, we've all seen the pictures. You know, dude was living his best life. You know, snorting the finest cocaine, drinking, eating whatever. You know, posing with guns, looking mad tough and whatnot. He wasn't thinking about no boxing. All of a sudden, though, he wants to get back into this gladiator lifestyle. Why? Why?
Money.
Yeah, that's the thing, though.
Money, cash, hoes.
You never have enough money. You can never have enough money.
That's true, but he had two Floyd fights. I mean, you would think in where he lives.
I'm about to say, he got that Broner stimulus package more than anything.
Probably still spending Broner money. He probably has money.
I'm spending Broner money, baby.
He probably hasn't even touched that Mayweather money. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like how Jay-Z said in 96, I'm still spending money from
88.
My Nana's still spending money from 2013. He hasn't even touched that.
Straight up. News, you care about this Madonna rumor comeback?
Nah, man. I don't think Madonna coming back at all. I think it's over. I think he's retired. I think he's hitting around and coming back. He may want to, but then when it's really time to get back into that grind, which had him ready to quit the sport, for that, and he's going to stay retired. But I do want to say, speaking of a comeback, shout out to my boy, the Phenom, Erickson Lubin.
Hey. Yep, boy,
Erickson Hammer.
Yep.
Lubin, put that work in on Ishae Smith Paws. You know what I mean? And he did what I was saying that nobody does, which is stop Ishae Smith.
Yep. He retired him.
That, right.
Bro, sent that him temple shot.
Yeah, dude said, fuck it, I can't do it no more. Took his ball.
That's what I want to see out of Eric Salub. And that's what I was saying that, like I said in the last cast, I was saying that Ishae Smith was the type of opponent he should have had before a Jermell Charlo.
And you mentioned that, yeah.
Out there, so.
Right. And I hope he get back in the ring soon, too, man. And because I don't want a long layoff for an opponent that we don't give a fuck about.
Right. Yo, because so another thing is Jermell Charlo took that loss. So as long as Lubin could get back into the picture, that rematch would be more feasible.
Yo,
exactly.
Lubin Trout.
I'm tired of Trout. Okay. I'm not even beating nobody to be giving me
something.
I won't be opposed. I see where you're getting at with it. I see where you're getting at with it. Like,
yo, okay. Listen, I don't want to see Trout fight either. But who do you have? Like, who else on PVC are you going to?
No, Trout.
Listen. He's right though, because this is the one thing that Lubin needs more than anything, which was really his downfall in the Charlo fight, is experience. He needs to be there against a savvy veteran. And even though Trout doesn't have, I mean, we could argue how much Trout has to offer, but he still has something to offer to somebody like Lubin. For somebody who needs guys to fight experience, who needs more experience, Trout is fine, just fine. That's why I'm okay with Trout.
I mean, it's like the first year that AI was in the league, if you never played him against John Stockton.
Oh, man. True. God.
Listen, man. Y'all catching y'all near as high as I am.
I don't want to see that.
I'm pretty sure AI crossed over Jordan in his first year. So
right. I mean to get the experience is what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. He does. He needs experience more than anything.
Who did Trout last fight?
Nah, man. like Jermell Charlo?
Jermell Charlo.
That was his last fight.
I've seen him in his fights, yeah. Damn. And now Jamie Munguia didn't need those fights.
Yeah,
he needed those. I don't want to see Erickson Lubin versus Austin Trout. Austin Trout had his chance. He's he's just a spoiler. I don't want to see him there. I want to see Erickson Lubin against Fresh Faces. Give Tony Harrison a title defense versus Erickson Lubin, because right. he needs to show that. Like, I mean, we can't always say that the prospects need to prove themselves when the champions need to prove themselves. Jaime Munguia should be fighting the Austin Trout. He ain't
You want Trout to die?
No, I mean, we don't want Trout to die. It's just that Trout, for a young up-and-comer,
we don't want Trout to die.
Trout just gives you, like, Trout is, I mean, let's keep it real. Let's be 100. Trout, at this point in his career, is a gatekeeper. It's not a bad thing, but it is what it is.
It is a bad thing. I don't want to, basically, PBC, he's making
it. Like rewarding him. I'm rewarding you for not being good anymore. No, win a fight. Why should he be rewarded with Erickson Lubin? Because if he beats Erickson Lubin, it still makes him look good. Now let's keep it real. Because Austin Trout's not on the level where a victory over Erickson Lubin wouldn't look good for him.
They on different
networks. I don't want to see him rewarded with a fight like that. He needs to beat somebody and bring his name back up. He hasn't done nothing. The best thing Austin Trout's been known for in the last like 8 years is having a fight where people thought he was robbed versus Canelo.
Well, he beat Cotto.
Besides, that was Dakota. Other than that, everybody has every dog has his day. He hasn't done nothing since.
People actually, a lot of people thought he beat Jermall, not Jermell, but a lot of people thought he beat Jermall.
This dude lost three of his last four fights, man.
Yo,
I don't want to see him versus Erickson Lubin.
All right, news. Then who is a suitable opponent for Lubin at this stage?
That's on his network. Erickson Lubin, his network.
I was just saying that Erickson Lubin could fight anybody. You can put him versus Tony. Why? If Tony Harrison wouldn't have beat Jermell Charlo, if I would have said Erickson Lubin versus Jermell Charlo in December, you would have been good with that.
Nah.
Tony Harrison fight needs to fight a champion. I'm just saying, I want to see, it's a lot of fighters that Erickson Lubin can fight rather than Austin Trout.
My only question is he ready? That's he needs experience. Oh,
but that's the whole point.
Excuse me.
We need to put him in there. We don't need to see him fighting the Austin Trout. Austin Trout is not if you're ready or not. He's just in the way.
Lubin caught in between, because he ranked into what, the WBC, and not a lot of PBC 154 ranked high in the WBC. That's the other part about it. Because the rankings I'm looking at it now, at the last update, was Lubin was fifth and Trout was sixth.
Well, so what about this? Lara is fighting Castano on March 2nd. Lubin versus the winner of that.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Like, we seen Arizlandi Lara fight Terrell Gashaw, but we sitting here saying Tony Harrison can't fight Erickson Lubin? Like, are we being serious?
But we don't have, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but you and me, let's keep it real. We hold Lubin in much higher regard. I hold Lubin in much higher regard. So, I mean, maybe it's just me just not trying to run the risk of, well, he's already got that one blemish. Now, another one, he's looking at the point of no return. You know what I'm saying?
No. I don't look at boxers in order to have them either creep their way up the totem pole. I'm not from that school of boxing. That's not how I became a fan. I believe fighters should have their feet put to the fire. Either shit or get off the pot. That's why Austin Trout need to get out of here. If Lubin can't beat Tony Harrison, get out of here. Why we need to waste our time with Erickson Lubin?
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, isn't Harrison gonna run it back with
Charlo?
Yeah, he's gonna run it back.
You gotta make your way up there. Yeah, you gotta make your way back. Are they running it back?
I mean, they must. There's no way that Charlo didn't have an immediate rematch clause.
If Herb wasn't fighting him, I'd say let's put Lubin in there with J-Rock.
Yeah. Yep, that would be the perfect
fight. The next one for somebody who on PBC Showtime with a credible name, but
he's on the menu for Herb next, so I can't even bring him. So but maybe in the
man,
future.
You say on the menu, I don't, that fight could be good.
Listen, man, Austin Trout is the Andre Berto.
Go, no.
Oh, God. Yeah. So we don't need to start a giant. Let's not get him out of here.
Hey, you know, getting the young guys, get him out of here, and they keep bringing them back. See, we've already seen the young guys beat up, and they keep coming back. I'm tired of seeing that.
But they don't even put Birdo against like young. If they put Birdo against young and up and comers that need to prove themselves, sure. But they put Birdo against guys that like do nothing for him. What did him beating him do for Sean Porter? But then I'm like, oh wait, it made him the mandatory. I can't even say that. But like, yeah, but it shouldn't have made him the mandatory. So I don't know. It's just weird.
Shit, you know what? Speaking of, you know, weird and shit, how would the landscape at 147 be if Mr. Omar Figueroa and the Broner fight would have went down? Even though I know he returned
his life,
but I just want to speak on how y'all expect Omar to, you know, look, because he got Sugar John Molina, as News call him, Sugar John.
No, that's his nickname now. News is right. That's what we know him as.
Yeah, man, that was amazing. It was.
Yeah, just think about it. This time, was it around this time last year that fight was scheduled, right? It should have been around.
Yeah.
How the landscape of not boxing, like it would have changed boxing, but you know that would have been crazy. But yeah, he returns this week. We got a Leo Santa Cruz this week. Well, let's not spend a lot of time on that. But how y'all expect those two cards to go, man? Those two fights to go.
Man, LLC is a disappointment. LLC is a pure disappointment because he actually had the worst fight out of that stupid rollout. And then because he was facing a jobber that got bodied by other jobbers, and then that jobber injured himself. So you got a slight upgrade, but still not the type of person he should be fighting. So, you know, LLC, whatever, man. Just get this bullshit over with. Now, Sugar John and Ken Eating Omar, this will probably be PBC's first fight of the year candidate, depending if Sugar John's nervous system is still working as it should. You know, I'm expecting a knockout in this fight. And I just think it's Omar, because Omar, you know, he lacking the boxy, but he does have a chin, and he has power, and he's a volume puncher. So I do expect him to get Molina the fuck up out of there.
You probably speak for everybody, so.
Nah.
Sugar John?
Nope. Listen, man. It's been two fights I've seen Sugar John Molina.
Don't do
out
it.
Of nowhere, man. The Mickey Bay went to lie out of nowhere, getting beat for what, 10 straight rounds? And coming, what was it? No, I'm not.
It was 9 rounds. Was. Yeah.
9 rounds. And he won the 10th round with the knockout out of nowhere. Then he goes and puts the boxing lesson on Rodney. And now he's fighting Figueroa.
Don't do it.
No defense.
Don't do it.
You never know. He might get on the toes. He got power. You know, the one thing I like about Figueroa fights is that Figueroa comes to fight. I mean, a lot of, like, just period. You, in order to beat Figueroa, you better come prepared to fight. You can't come to, I'm going to throw a couple punches to keep him off me. None of that. He throws a lot of punches.
A lot.
And it doesn't matter if he breaks his hands, if his face is like, I've seen his face all bloody, he's still coming forward after you, putting pressure on you. So,
yeah, except against Broner.
Yeah, man. So, this is.
Yeah, except against Broner.
This definitely should be a really good fight. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Molina could pull off an upset, but I'm going to say that. I'm gonna go with the age and the youth of Figueroa for this, because after the wars that Molina has been in, I don't know. I don't think he has enough left to pull off the upset on Figueroa. Even though I ain't seen Figueroa in a minute
since Guerrero.
Yeah, Guerrero, and before that it was a long time.
I think that is true.
Yeah, you know. So this would be. I've just looked it up on BoxRec. This would be. Omar Figueroa's second fight since December of 2015.
Shaking my head.
What, Ricky Burns, right?
Yeah.
That fight was DeMarco. Lit.
Since DeMarco? Then, he fought Robert Guerrero in July 2017, and that fight only went 3 rounds before he stopped Guerrero.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's fought 3 rounds since December 2015. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the potential for an upset is there. I don't know if Molina still has enough. I can't even talk. Enough left in the tank to pull off an upset. So I'm going to go with Figueroa myself.
Yeah, nah, he doesn't. Figgy Smalls is going to stop him. So.
What?
Figgy Smalls.
He's fast as fuck.
I like that. So the FIG.
Figueroa is good. So, I mean, I would like to see him fight more. I like Figueroa. I just wish he would fight more and his hands wouldn't betray him and he wouldn't eat himself out of division.
Yes. But
he has talent. Like, if he can actually like fight and not fuck up like his hands and his and feed himself out of division, he could be a player in the division. I really believe that. So we just gotta see him more.
I mean, I think that Figueroa is gonna knock Sugar John out. But he's not going to be anything in the grand scheme of things because he doesn't have the discipline.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's got the talent. Like, that's the thing.
Yes.
He's got talent. Like, he's the kind of fighter you want to, like he throws hands. He's got power. Like, he just doesn't fucking, he doesn't fight enough. So... But he has what you're looking for.
Man, like, Figueroa at 147. Imagine him versus Sean Porter. That'd be a nice fight to see.
I could see them trying to get him to like. I could see them trying to make along the road a grudge match between Figueroa and Errol Spence because Figueroa beat Spence in the amateur. So they got that little.
Yeah. So. Not before 2 or 3 warm-up fights.
Well, of course, yeah, of course not. You can't. Yeah, I'm sure he'll go through eating again and not fighting. But
but shit, just announced earlier today. We got the rescheduled fight. I'm sorry, of Shields and Hammer. I know we touched on it prior to it happening and, before it was canceled and, now rescheduled, but that will be taking place for April the 13th, if I'm not correct.
Yes, sir. In Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. So, man, hopefully it goes down and we can get some clarity in the women's boxing. Obviously, we'll touch on it more when the fight gets near that week of the fight, but, just early predictions of how you guys expect that fight to go.
Man, this is Clarissa Shields era.
Let's hope Hammer doesn't pull out again.
Crossed.
I do still think that Hammer is a slightly better boxer than Shields, but fights are won in the ring, so let's see how it goes.
I'm going with Shields.
Same here.
I'm rocking with Shields, but I just hope they, catch wreck.
Yeah, ditto.
Yep. Well, that's that. Like I said, that's just a brief prediction, but like I said, we'll go more in depth to it when the fight gets closer. But now onto the main event. We got some heavyweight news the last few days. News you were before we kickstarted the cast, you were speaking on the purse bid. Can you just go ahead and go more in depth on that for us, man?
Yeah, well, the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury travesty, known as the first fight, and Deontay Wilder was unable to retain his WBC championship via a dominant come from behind 12th round victory over Tyson Fury. So the rematch is supposed to happen. The first bid was supposed to happen. And what do you know? Once again, another purse bid is pushed back with these guys. So they were supposed to meet today and get the purse bid set and everything like that. Apparently they had an extension. That still was not enough time. And now it's supposed to be postponed pretty much indefinitely. Even though they're saying that they're supposed to fight like May 18th in Barclays, they're still saying that the purse bid is postponed. I don't know what even the point of having a purse bid then.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because while you're saying that they had the purse bid for that fight, the WBC did a purse bid for that fight, WBC also did a purse bid for the fucking interim belt. They ordered a purse bid between Dillian White and Dominic fucking
Brazil.
I'm not mad about that, though. I'm not mad about that, because
how are you having two purse bids in the same organization for the same belt? Interim purse bid, like, what the fuck?
Interim super international continental belt, like, what the fuck, man?
Well, the reason I'm not mad about the Dillian White Dominic Brazil situation is because I feel that Dillian White should be fighting the Dominic Brazils, the Big Baby Millers. I've been saying that over and over and over at Ozium. So if it's going to take a purse bid in order to get him reverse one of them, I want to see where he really stands. If he goes out there and gets rid of Dominic Brazil, then Dillian White may legit be the fifth worst heavyweight in the world, like they've been saying. Who's and that? I would want to see him verse. I want to see him verse the Undertaker.
What
a
man!
I said the fifth.
Fifth. I mean, because at the end of the day, when you got Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, and Luis Ortiz, that's a nice top four.
Usyk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really a top four at that in many other divisions. I mean, look at super middleweight's top four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
like heavyweight's top four.
Usyk's moving up, though.
Hey, Usyk's
moving up. But he's still got to win.
He hasn't fought yet, so I can't put him in the top.
You got to prove it. Right.
But Dillian White would have a nice little resume as far as beating up on the B-level heavyweights. So that would make him a legit, you know what I mean? That's how you become a contender for a championship. You beat all the other contenders up.
Will any of y'all pick Brazil, or are everybody going to go White?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to Dillian White. I'm not going no former college quarterback, man. I hate when people, like, at the end of the day, man, we ain't never seen no quarterback become no champion in boxing. All type of people come into boxing. This is a sport. We've had basketball players, wrestlers, baseball players. I remember I seen Ray Edwards get knocked out in person up here at Chanel at the high school. You know, so I'm not, come on, man. You gotta take boxing serious, man. You was a quarterback, man. I'm going with Dillian White by knockout, man.
I'm rolling with Be Easy Trouble.
Man, you don't even deserve no nickname, man.
Hey, man.
He ain't did nothing.
How you gonna say you don't deserve a nickname?
Be Easy. He barely gets the bruh in Brazil.
Nah, he.
I mean, like I said, I mean, Brazil has
easy.
I mean, with the exception
of
the Joshua fight, he has the ability to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. He does this too much, and you know, I've met the guy personally. He's class. You know, he's a good guy and all. But you know, so eventually this is gonna come to end. And then Dillian White has a left hook. Has a left hook from hell. And I just don't see him. I just don't see Brazil taking that punch or taking the punch over and over again without going down for good, you know? So, I mean, to me, it's like 60-40. Like Brazil can win if White gasses out, and he does do that, too. I mean, he almost got KO'd by Joseph Parker, you know, a couple fights ago. So, I mean, it's very possible. You know, but I would say 60-40 though, White, because White's on a roll right now. Brazil looked terrible in his last fight. So,
I think White stops him in the mid round. I think he knocks him out.
Mm.
Fifth, sixth round. Not a Brazil fan. Don't like him at all. I mean, I don't, can't say I don't like him at all, but I just,
yeah, he looked shitty in his own. He looked shitty in that fight earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
He looked real shitty.
And we've never seen him look good in the fight.
No, I was going to say, take it from somebody who's seen him live. Bruh is average at best. And I'm being nice.
He's got plus power, though.
Does he?
That's plus power.
Okay. I saw him in his only really, really big step up fight against AJ just shit the bed.
Well, several other fighters do the same thing?
But he was just taking a pound in that fight.
I'm not a Brazil fan or an AJ fan. I'm just saying.
I thought Dylan White looked better versus Anthony Joshua than Dominic Brazil did.
He caught him with a nice left hook.
Yeah, the Brazil didn't do nothing but delay his knockout. Because that's all it was. He took a lot of punishment. That was like Anthony Joshua throwed out punishment in that fight.
Yeah, he did.
I think Brazil would get knocked out by Kalnaki.
Get that interim belt off his waist. I wanted Deontay Wilder to fight him, but they waited too long. So get him out of here. You can fight him when you need like a tune-up or something. But he should not be the interim. He should not be the gatekeeper to Deontay Wilder.
There shouldn't be a goddamn interim to begin with.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the truth.
Like, because if you think about it, he really could have. He took the loss to Joshua. We know that. But he should have took that loss to Ugano.
Washington.
Should have took that loss to Amir Mansour.
Yeah, Mansour was busting his ass before his tongue just got split open.
Yeah.
Right. And then I thought he should have took the loss to Classy Freddie Cassie. So
we're gonna
have no faith in Dominic Brazil.
I mean,
at all.
We're gonna fault a heavyweight fighter for relying on one punch power.
No, I'm hating him for relying on his size. Man, he don't rely on man, I'm gonna say pause on that one. Yeah, I don't like the fact that when he get hit, he's like a giraffe getting knocked around the ring. You ever watch National Geographic and you see them dudes out there and you see the giraffes and they just over there just frolicking around and they're just swaying around? That's what Brazil looks like when people are hitting him clean. He's just like leaning all over the place and just look crazy to me. Him and Gerald Washington, they look crazy. They're both football players. Get all these Seth Mitchells out of here. These Ray Edwards, Seth Mitchell, Dominic Brazil.
Let that be the last time you mention Gerald Washington on the damn cast.
Seth Mitchell.
I don't think I've ever seen a football player that stiff. How you play football and you have
He called out pauses like he's the mayor of pauses and doesn't throw one out for that. You're not the mayor anymore, brother.
Yeah. But speaking of another heavyweight fight, they say tomorrow that's when Big Baby and AJ will be announced for June 1st in the U.S.
I'm going to try to make that fight. I'm gonna have to see if, I mean, I don't know. I might have to see if I can break the budget and go to both. Because if Wilder and Fury is in Barclays, I might have to blow a little budget money, but I don't know. So, we'll see.
I think going to the Anthony Joshua fight would be cool just to see the type of people that it brings to it. But I mean, that's
be out there.
That's not a good fight, and it's not worth the you know $300 to $600 for a ticket.
I like to see that. I like to see. I want to see Big Baby get that opportunity.
I mean, but at the same time, you got to think about it. It's Anthony Joshua. You know what I'm saying? It's like going to see Canelo and then see, you know, even if he's fighting a bum, it's Canelo. How many times does he come to New York? You know what I'm saying? That's like, that's
well, you live in New York.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but he never comes here. Like, you don't fight here. Guys like, unless you see Joshua fight in America, that's very rare. So it's like, Joshua is the attraction. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there to watch young Femi, the Nigerian god, do his work. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'll definitely be there for that. You know, Big Baby will fall. That's for damn sure.
I think that's the... Go ahead. I was about to ask why you think that, my man.
I don't know. Just the way that Big Baby is built, it doesn't look like. And then the fact that Anthony Joshua gets tired himself, like we know Big Baby gasses out, but he also puts a lot of pressure on his opponents. We've never seen anybody really pressure Anthony Joshua in the style that Jarrell Miller fights. And then I don't think that with Anthony Joshua being gassed, he's going to be able to finish a Jarrell Miller. I just don't. Now, do I think Big Baby beats him? No, I'm not going to say that. Because I think Anthony Joshua has way more tools in the shed than Big Baby has as far as being a boxer. Mm-hmm. And I think this will be the opportunity where people see that Anthony Joshua can box because Big Baby cannot box with him. Someone like Povetkin, you can't do all that. I think Anthony Joshua, if he wanted to show off his boxing skills, this would be the fight. Big Baby is not a boxer. He's a kickboxer.
I agree.
This would be that fight. And then if he does that, if Anthony Joshua, and the fact that Big Baby is going to only can do is because he's shorter than him. He has shorter arms, right? He has less stamina. And the only way that he can fight is coming forward, throwing thousands of punches. If Anthony Joshua decided to go backwards and use his height and reach and just box Big Baby's head off for the first half of the fight and tire him out, go into his body, Anthony Joshua can get that knockout then. Because we've never seen Anthony Joshua with stamina going into the second half of the fight. He's usually gassing around the middle of the fight before the sixth round starts. I don't know. That would be a good fight to see because now that I'm thinking about it, that may be a possibility. If Anthony Joshua goes back to just boxing him, he may get Big Baby up out of there via knockout because Big Baby is going to gas, period. He always does.
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah, we big guys, man. It's hard to carry around that type of weight. Mm-hmm. 36 minutes of strenuous activity. Y'all asking too much out of us.
Well, nobody tells him to go into the ring so fucking big. Nobody tells him to go.
Listen, man, you can't be Big Baby. Your name can't be Big Baby when you come into the ring at 210.
Yeah, but he's not coming at 215. He's 6'4", 350 pounds. That's unacceptable.
Listen, man, it's Big Pun. Notorious B.I.G. It's Big Baby Miller. Pun. That's New York. Yeah, you can. Yeah, Big Pun. 173 pounds.
Little Baby Miller.
Yeah. Yo, Little Baby.
He's 112 pounds, but he's mean.
I'm saying that you say it's hard to carry around that weight. That's his choice. You don't got to do all that. Just like Joshua doesn't have to come into the ring looking like a bodybuilder. He could lose a little bit of that muscle and it'd be okay. Like motherfuckers come in all bodybuilding and then wonder why fuckers wonder why they got. Like, really?
I mean, hey, it's been working for Big Baby. I like him better than all the other prospects that we had coming out of the US lately, except for Wilder.
I mean, he carries his weight well, so no pause. But
no,
he just judged the usage of the pause. He said, "No, you needed that one for that one."
Let's go to the pause usage board.
But yeah, man, you speaking of another show, man. I think that should go ahead and wrap it up, man.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, man, great episode as always. I already said where you can find me. I'm Brews and Boxing, or Boxing Brews on Twitter. But yeah, let me go ahead and kick it around the room, let everybody, you know, say what they got to say. And then, as usual, Brews going to go ahead and take us home.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's For Smoke. You can check me out at Free Smoke Boxing on Twitter. And, you know, always tune to the Fade Hour. Holla.
Yeah. What's good, yo? It's Pat Scorff, the New England representative. And as always, man, all you have to do is just type in PA in the search engine, and it'll take you there, because Big Brother's always watching. It's watching your attentions. But if you don't want to go through all that, you know, just go type in, you know, it's fine. You can find me at Ring Gang Radio on the web, or on Instagram, or on Twitter, or whatever, or my own personal Twitter, you know, Bigger Pat, you know, it's everything, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, get at me.
What up? Your boy Pete, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Bodega Box. You already know.
Y'all, I'm your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. Another glorious episode of the Fade Hour, wrapping up episode 21. We'll see y'all next week. We out.
Peace.